Improving health literacy, the ability to understand and act on health information, is key to improving health outcomes and lowering costs. Welcome to the Health Literacy 2.0 podcast, the podcast series from EdLogix, where we talk with business, HR, health, and community leaders and explore unique, data-driven, and effective behavior-changing solutions that can help improve people's health literacy and increase their engagement with health and wellness programs. For show notes and bonus resources, visit www.edlogix.com/podcast. Okay, let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast on health literacy and workforce well-being. My name is Seth Sirksner. I'm Chief Health Officer at EdLogix, and I'm really pleased today to welcome Karen Mueller to talk a little bit about this topic with us. She has a lot of experience, and while I know her background a bit, Karen, why don't you take a second and tell us a little bit about your background and kind of your career path and how you landed where you are today?
Great. Thank you, Seth. Happy to do that. My name is Karen Mueller. I'm the Executive Vice President with Horan. We are an employee benefit and healthcare consulting firm out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And, you know, believe it or not, Cincinnati, Ohio has, you know, the same problems as everyone else across the country. And we're not as far behind as you think.
Never did think you were behind.
Well, that's always the joke for people who are in Ohio. Yeah, we're 10 years behind everybody else. But when it comes to healthcare, I think we have been pretty proactive. Yeah, just a little bit about myself. I have been in the healthcare space for about 40 years. And so when you start to think about, when I look at the beginning of my career, I started with an insurance company who was self-funded and self-administered. And so I was actually involved in administering our employee benefit plan within the organization. And had the opportunity to move up in that organization pretty quickly and found a few other career paths. Some of that was working on the carrier side, did that for almost 10 years, and you learn a lot. One of the best experiences that I had on working for one of the major carriers at the time, one of the major health plans at the time, was I had the opportunity to really learn all aspects of the business. So although I was more on the sales and business development side, I learned to underwrite. I learned how provider contracts were negotiated. I had the experience of learning and talking with employers. And I think when you start to pull a lot of these different aspects of the business together, you get a full picture, which really, I think, prepared me for the 26 and a half years I've spent on the consulting side. So that's a little bit about my background.
And are you from Ohio? Is that where you grew up? Or yeah?
That's where I'm born and raised.
And I take it you went to college there as well?
I did. I am a Miami University graduate and proud to say so.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I know how it is, you know, coming from Optum for 10 years, learning the kind of the carrier, the health insurance side, working with underwriters, working with contracting for networks and quality and all those things. It does really help to kind of know the nuts and bolts as you start then to advocate for your clients. So let's talk a little bit about Horan and your role there and the kind of clients you have and some of the topics. I'm sure everyone's dealing with healthcare cost trends, is, you know, that's a constant. But what are some of the big issues these days that your clients are concerned with and that you're trying to address?
Well, there's a number of different things. And I think it's interesting, as you know, in my space, I do business development and consulting primarily on employee benefits. But with employee benefits and primarily the health insurance, you know, being the second or third largest expense on an employer's books, it becomes a much bigger topic. So in order for me to really fully understand how to best consult on their employee benefits, I really try to take a step back and to learn a lot more about the business itself and some of the other challenges that they might be facing. Because you can use and utilize employee benefits in a number of different ways. And so it's really understanding the challenges and concerns that that employer is dealing with and try to work my benefits strategy into their business strategy so that we become really part of the team. And again, especially when we're dealing with an expense as large as, you know, as the employee benefit expense. So we really want to make it a valued asset and not look at it so much as an expense or liability on your books. We want to find ways to constantly engage the employees and create solutions, you know, that help with recruitment and retention. You know, those are big challenges that employers are dealing with. We also have a multi-generational workforce where before you could put together one package of benefits and what's good for one is good for all. That's not the case anymore. And so really trying to target and really, as I mentioned before, understand that client, understand their workforce, understand their people and the challenges, and try to create something that is, you know, again, going to be focused on that population of employees.
So I really appreciate that point of view, obviously getting to know the client, trying to understand what are their challenges, what are their pain points, and supporting that. You know, from that strategic perspective, are employers really seeing the benefits as beyond a healthcare benefit, but a kind of a productivity benefit, a how do I meet my business goals? Is that kind of more the point of view these days?
From my perspective and what I've seen, yes, I would say that it has become much broader than just like, which health plan am I going to offer this year? You know, how much is my deductible going up? Those are not the discussions that we're having on a strategic level. Yeah, I think it is, and just for point of reference, Horan has clients that are, I think we're in 48, 49 states. I belong to multiple organizations where, you know, I'm adjusting and reaching out to resources and peers across the country. So my perspective is a little bit broader, I guess, is my point. But again, when I talk with my peers across the country, we find that a lot of the problems are very, very similar. You know, again, healthcare cost is going up. We have, you know, this thing that we called COVID for 3 years. You know, now I think we are officially, just recently, have been declared post-COVID. And employers are dealing with a lot of things in terms of workforce and trying to get people to re-engage in a different way. And we still have many that are hybrid. So how do you reach them? The topics of, you know, health and well-being have become very, very important topics. You know, many people were isolated for over 2 years. And for some, that worked okay. But for others, it was very detrimental, not only to their mental health, but also their physical health and vice versa. So a lot of things and a lot of challenges that our employers are dealing with today that maybe have become much more to the forefront than they had before, but things that you have to have some consideration in as you look forward.
And we know, obviously, you know, mental health has become a major issue, well-being, as you said. I'm curious, who's around the table these days? Is it a different group of stakeholders or a more broad group? So the classic benefits, total comp, HR, human capital, got it. Sometimes work with safety, of course. But now there's ESG, there's diversity officers. I'm even hearing more about learning and development leaders. Talk a little bit about who you work with or ideally you'd like to work with. Has that shifted? And what are those conversations like?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, any organization is going to be a little bit different for each organization. But yes, working with people that we had probably not worked with a lot in the past. One of the ideas that has employers or reached out to us for help was on on-site clinics and or near-site clinics and trying to really integrate some of that behavioral health component in with primary care. And so some of this has developed because of issues that were impacting people's work that, again, maybe not so much physically, but mentally. And so having a resource to go to and that they can get in and access to care has become a pretty hot topic in terms of making sure when you start to look at productivity in the workplace. Manufacturing, for example, keeping people actively at work. You look at the healthcare space, you look at education, you know, these become very large expenses if people are not showing up and, you know, mentally and physically for work. And so it becomes almost a double expense, you know, just from a, we must have somebody here to do the job. And so those have become some big issues of discussion as well. So trying to find solutions for that and creating access to care has been one of the things that we've worked very hard on.
So it's so interesting. I know before COVID, on-site, near-site clinics were growing again in popularity. Mm-hmm. Obviously, COVID took a little bit of a, you know, a hit on those, although many of them as you say, people still have come to work, and the clinics played a central role in helping mm-hmm. those people, as well as guiding for all the other issues around COVID. I'm mm-hmm. curious, so you're still seeing interest in on-site, near-site clinics as potentially a way to remind people that coming to work is a good thing and there's resources and all the other reasons, or is it still a happening area?
It really is. You know, I belong to a couple employers groups that are focused on healthcare. And, you know, one of the primary things that we've been talking about is independent primary care, just because of the access that it creates. When you have trying to get into a physician, you know, some of the wait times are significant. And so trying to get in to see a doctor can be sometimes a challenge. And so creating, you know, these clinics where an employer is maybe sponsoring a shared clinic or even an on-site clinic has become something of interest and continues to be. There's also been a big push just for primary care in general to help manage chronic conditions and, you know, access to prescriptions. You know, when you leave, you don't have to worry about going to the pharmacy. A lot of times you can get some type of medication that you need right there on site. So really ease access, you know, keep it simple and provide a good experience for that patient so they're comfortable coming back, you know, to that particular location and start to develop those relationships and engagement with a provider.
So I'm a big fan of primary care. And in fact, being a typical guy and not getting my annual visits and then finally being yeah. convinced to do it and realizing, hey, now I've got a primary care guy. If I need anything, mm-hmm. he knows about me. He's got a baseline. And so, right. you know, knock on wood, it could even be a boring visit for me, but he said, I'd rather have a boring visit and get to know you. So I do think that that's really important. My question is when you said independent primary care, you know, we already have a bit of a fragmented system. And I think there's some worry that I go to my primary care, I get some on-site clinic, but I still have another primary care provider somewhere else. Is that still the case? Or are you suggesting that this other person, maybe the on-site clinic person, is your full primary care person now?
You know, it depends. Most of the time, the services at an on-site may take on occupational health. They may take on some primary care. It, you know, those are a little bit more limited. I think I'm looking more at some of the hybrids models mm-hmm. where there might be some independent clinics that are employer-sponsored, but maybe there's multiple employers mm-hmm. that are engaged in those clinics. And there's several different models that are out there. I think the other thing is that really we're focused on more advanced primary care. And that is, you know what, if you can get that within a system, that's awesome. If you have a relationship with a primary care and you can get access to that physician when you need them, that's perfect. There's just a lot of different models, but I think the point being is that we really want to make sure that people can get to see their doctor when they need to see them, can develop that relationship, and can spend more than 7 minutes. I think that's the other critical part. You know, an average visit with a primary care physician is like 7 or 8 minutes. And what we have been pushing with the advanced primary care is to take the time to build those relationships. So those visits might be, you know, 20, 30, 40, 60 minutes in some situations. And so that's really what we're focused on, is to have that primary care physician practicing at the top of their license. And that office having some other services that may, you know, a lot of times are referred out. But if you have some of those services within that office, it really takes a more holistic view of that patient and resources that are right there that you can pull in. So behavioral health or having a behavioralist is one of those. Sometimes it's having dermatology. Sometimes it's women's health. You know, some different types of services that you can incorporate right into that visit when that patient needs it the most. Because once they get out of that office, sometimes you lose them. And so this is just a way to really create an opportunity for those patients to get, you know, again, best care and those physicians to be able to all practice at the top of their license.
Makes a lot of sense. So as you know, health literacy, health equity is a huge topic for me. This fits really well with what you're talking about around primary care and sometimes providers not having the time or the resources to really explain things thoroughly or to allow somebody to absorb things when they get home. And really, health literacy is a path to engagement. It's a path to health equity. But health literacy has been kind of old school. It's been this brochureware, or maybe the doctor scribbles a drawing of where they're going to, you know, operate on your knee. When really health literacy 2.0 is this idea of taking behavioral science and gamification to make learning fun and interesting, to take the data to personalize it, and then to really use different formats, video and infographics and quizzes, all combined. So for me, I've been very excited about this idea and this opportunity to do this. When I talk to employers, while they all agree it's a good idea, they still see a challenge and how to adopt it, how to implement it, whether they think it's the health plan's issue or the provider issue, or it just doesn't fit neatly into all the resources they have. I'm curious, one, do you think health literacy is an important piece, or am I kind of out on the fringe here? And then two, if employers are interested in this, where do you see it fitting in their ecosystem?
Yeah. Great point. And I think health literacy is a very key component to improving overall health. But I think the important, you know, component of that is just meeting people where they are. People learn and educate themselves very differently. You know, one of the things that for me personally, if you give me a brochure and say, hey, here, read this, here's some information on, you know, the situation that you're dealing with, I promise you, even though it's important to me, I'm going to probably read every third or fourth word. I scan things. Okay, I got the gist of it. Let me move on. But if you're sitting down and having a conversation with me, or if I am listening to something, I will absorb every word. I will ask questions. And again, I just engage very differently, you know, than some other people. Others may want the brochure. They may, you know, as you mentioned, maybe it's quizzes, something that they can, you know, test themselves and make sure that they learned and understood what was being told to them. So I think it has to be a platform that can really reach people in multiple ways. So just meeting people where they are, I think, is really important. I think the other thing that I would say, you mentioned, you know, what does it take to kind of infiltrate that ecosystem in a way that can become a little bit more mainstream? You know, I think on the challenges of the employer, they may have multiple platforms within their organization that they're asking employees to reach out to. You know, they may have a payroll platform. They may have a benefit platform. You know, these may not all be integrated. So there's this username and password, that username and password. And I think people just get kind of overwhelmed with some of that. So I think making it easy, you know, easy to access, maybe integrated in with another platform would certainly help with that engagement. I certainly think that incentives, employers offering some type of incentive for employees to engage in their own health, maybe through some type of gamification, could also be certainly a way to attract more people onto those different types of platforms. And hopefully they learn something along the way. You know, I think measuring that learning is also something that is a way to give feedback back to those employers and to those employees, I think, is another way to keep people engaged. There's, you know, some competitiveness, I think, in all of us. And so understanding where they kind of rank and rate is one way to attract some people to those different types of platforms.
Yeah, super helpful. And I do love this idea that, you know, people learn different learning styles. I'm kind of like you. I'm a skimmer. Maybe I grew up in the TV world, but I love videos, you know, YouTube. If I have to fix the sink, fix my bike, I'm going to YouTube. I'm learning from there and it works pretty well for me. So I think that makes a lot of sense, the individual styles, and obviously measuring outcomes is key. I'm curious, you know, the ecosystem's pretty crowded for employers, to your point. They have a lot of, we all talk about this point solution fatigue. There's lots of different, you know, benefit platform. We don't want to send people to yet another one. This idea of a front door, one place ideally that people go and then navigate. Is that something that you see an interest in that people are trying to do, or is it still kind of a bit of a holy grail?
It's really, really improved over the last few years in particular. So before, where platforms were not able to be integrated, there's a way to do it. So that is much more attractive to employers as they try to reduce the number of front doors that people have to go through to access information. So yes, it's something that we definitely see. And it's really, like I said, that has really picked up in terms of the integration over the last several years.
Yeah, appreciate that. So Karen, what would you, as we've kind of talked through a number of different things, I really like this conversation about primary care and access, some insights you've had there, some of the bigger, more strategic approaches to business and how to help them. You know, it's not just a benefit now, it's much more part of the overall strategy. So with your personal advice and Horan's approach, what are just a couple parting recommendations you have for employers that are now navigating this kind of broader retention, workforce issue, productivity? Where would you like them to really focus these days?
You know, I think it is really, I say, focus around the whole person. You know, retaining talent and top talent is really one of the primary concerns that employers have. But it's really taking the time to understand the culture, understand the population of employees that you have. And then again, working with a good consultant who is going to ask those more strategic questions and not just bring you a solution that's like, yep, here's a plan, here's some benefits. But really working with, I would encourage people to work with a consultant on their programs that can really focus in on the strategic part of that, that are aligned as partners, because I think you'll go a lot farther, a lot faster, and really dig into situations that problems maybe you didn't even realize that you had. Not all of it is related to employee benefits, but employee benefits and some of the solutions that we bring to the table may be able to solve other issues that you do have. So yeah, I guess my parting words was there's a lot of really smart people out there who are bringing great ideas, very, very much innovation. Listen, pay attention, and ask a lot of questions. So there's always more to come. There's so much on the horizon and so much technology that is flooding us right now, sorting through and figuring out what is best for you, your organization, and anyone associated with your organization, I think may be very unique in many ways.
I think it's great advice, having been on kind of both sides as an employer, really looking for a partner, somebody who thinks strategically. You know, the rest will come in terms of, you know, the business part of the relationship. But I like this holistic think of the person, the culture, the different populations, and just really partner up. So Karen, again, thank you so much for your time. It's been really a pleasure to have the opportunity to talk to you and hear your point of view. So thank you again.
Thank you, Seth. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for joining us today on the Health Literacy 2.0 podcast, the podcast series from EdLogix, where we talk with business, HR, health, and community leaders and explore unique, data-driven, and effective behavior-changing solutions that can help improve people's health literacy and increase their engagement with health and wellness programs. Remember, for show notes and bonus resources, visit www.edlogix.com/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe and share the show with your colleagues. Thanks, and see you soon.